Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. Music of Beethoven, the final movement of his Symphony No. 4 in B-flat major, Opus 60, performed by the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields, conducted by our guest today, Maestro Joshua Bell. Josh?
Yes.
Jill Pasternak, yet again.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm fine, and we can't keep up with you. I mean, it's just amazing what you're doing. And
thank you.
It's just a pleasure to speak with you about your newest venture. I just was wondering, what prompted you to do this, you're basically a conductor here, I think, not a soloist.
Well... as you know, it's been my job now, if you can call it a job. I don't really think of anything in music as being a job, but my new role as music director is something that kind of came about rather organically, I think. I started playing with this orchestra as a director about 10 years ago as a guest director with smaller string things like Vivaldi's Four Seasons and Schubert's Death and the Maiden, sort of arranged for string orchestra and directing them like that, which was a very organic thing coming out of playing a lot of chamber music my whole life. And then started adding winds, playing with the larger group, conducting Mozart and then Beethoven symphonies. And then they asked me to be their music director, and it sort of happened in a very nice and natural way, it's so exciting for me to get to put my stamp on some of this repertoire that I've known, of course, my whole life. But
as a player, yes, of course.
Yeah,
but
really
I just wonder how people. I'm sure they're looking at the album and saying, "What do you mean, Joshua Bell conducting?" And for people that are not acquainted with your career, other than the fact that you have been a soloist for so many years, and they kind of judge you not only as a soloist but also as a chamber, perhaps playing with a like you did with Jeremy Denk with a piano and so on. But it boils down to something more basic than isn't. Wouldn't you say orchestral music is essentially all chamber music?
Absolutely.
In the sense you have to listen. You have to listen as a player.
Well, I mean, categorizations are sort of rather artificial. I never even think of myself as a soloist. I don't know what that means. I mean, I'm a musician, and when you play even as a soloist, I'm playing with an orchestra. When I play Beethoven Concerto, I'm playing with 60 other musicians, and that's chamber music. It's making music together. So the idea of a soloist, is kind of a strange term anyway. So,
it's actually, you've got to say, in a sense, you're always listening, even if you are the solo instrument above a large orchestra. But it's, I think the role is different in a sense. I mean, with Beethoven or Mozart, I would imagine it's more concise. It is chamber music on a large scale. But, when you get into the more contemporary works, is the function different?
Well, the thing is, the way I lead the orchestra and the symphonies and for the most part, the way I direct the orchestra is actually from the violin. So this is, I'm playing along with the orchestra much of the time, and then sometimes I put my violin down and just, and use my bow as a baton. So I'm kind of doing both things. And for me, it feels very natural. I mean, even when I played concertos, I've been always very concerned with the entire score, of course. I mean, this is obvious, but it's something that, every soloist should be thinking about every instrument in the orchestra and thinking about all the things you think about when you direct a symphony. I mean, articulations and how even the winds, you know, understanding how the winds breathe and the way they play together with the making. Really, you want, as a conductor, you're just really trying to get the best performance out of everyone. I guess it's directing a movie.
As a conductor, yeah, but I think you were essentially a soloist, and again, you played chamber music, and that all of that works, and I guess it works with Beethoven, and it works with Mozart, maybe the Baroque and the classical period and the early Romantic, but when you get into the real, very, very different type of music, I guess, it's late Romantic and so on, I think the job of the conductor is slightly more complicated.
Absolutely. I mean, that's really why the job of conductor came about at all. It's because the music became more and more complicated. It became more and more musicians on stage, and then it gets more complicated. You can play these Beethoven symphonies with 100 people on stage, or you can play them with 40 people on stage. And what we did it with 40, and at that amount, it's still very, very possible to play like chamber music.
Yeah.
And one might think it's going to be less powerful with less people, and the result can often be quite the opposite. In fact, you can sometimes feel more power coming from a really well-precision string quartet that plays with a lot of energy than you can have a 100-piece orchestra that sounds kind of flabby and not unenergetic, you know, even though there are so many more players. So it's not the numbers aren't the only issue. I do not plan on conducting The Rite of Spring anytime soon, you know. But I'll bet it could be done.
Have you ever played The Rite of
Spring?
No, you haven't. Well, I have always been a person that I guess tries new things. And this naming you as director of the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields was probably a very, very exciting experience for you. And I must say that this recording is just wonderful. Are the string players intimidated at all?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I'm very intimidating. Although as a director, you have to remain somewhat intimidating and know how to balance being intimidating and being their buddy. You know, this is kind of interesting. It's a different role in that way for me too. And something I'm still learning how to make just the right balance.
Well, I think many conductors have had, you know, an instrument that they play. Some, of course, piano, but I think they have. And of course, you're, as you said, you're a musician and it's music. But, you know, it has become a whole other ball game, I think, with many of the conductors. They're known for their Beethoven, or they're known for their, you know, their Mozart or whatever. But with you, you still have that wonderful feeling of being a musician and part of a larger group, an ensemble, and then you have the humility that I think comes with being a musician playing in an orchestra under a conductor. So you have that. It's a difficult role, I would imagine. But all I can say is that this album is really stunning, and you are going on tour now. Are you going on tour with the Academy?
Well, I'm on my way to Europe just today on tour with some other orchestras, and then on a big recital tour across the States starting in February. But I will meet up with the Academy in Europe in March, and then we have generally two big tours per year. We're finally coming back to the States. I think in the spring of 2014, we'll do a big tour. So I don't dedicate my whole year to to being their music director. I mean, to playing with them. But certainly those are the highlights of my years when I get to play with that orchestra.
Now, when you're going to play with other orchestras, will that be as a guest conductor or will that be as a soloist?
No, generally, that will be generally as a soloist. I don't do a lot of directing with other orchestras, although I did a stint with the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra, which I loved and learned some of the repertoire with them about 6-7 years ago. And occasionally I'll come direct an orchestra here and there. But generally I'm balancing my life between being soloist with orchestras as a guest and playing chamber music and recitals and then doing the academy things where I have to play, double duty. I have to play a concerto and direct a symphony and the overture, et cetera. And that's those tours can be quite exhausting because I'm doing so much on each program.
We listen now to Beethoven's Symphony No. 7 in A Major, Opus 92, performed by the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields, conducted by our guest today, Joshua Bell. We've just heard Beethoven's Symphony No. 7 in A Major, Opus 92, performed by the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields, with Joshua Bell, conductor and concertmaster. This is a new release on the Sony label. Joshua Bell conducts Beethoven's Symphonies No. 4 and 7 with the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. This is a premiere performance. The album will be available on February 12th. The other thing that I know that you've done through the years, you've written cadenzas for some of the works that you've performed as a soloist.
Yes, I mean, I'm sort of a wannabe composer too, although I haven't developed that side of me enough as much as I'd like. But I do write all my own cadenzas for the Brahms and the Beethoven and all the, even the Mendelssohn. I replaced the Mendelssohn cadenza with my own, which was sort of just something I do for fun. But and I love arrangements. I love being involved in arranging things for duets with if it's a duet with a pop singer or with doing things like Eleanor Rigby from the Beatles. And on my last album, At Home with Friends, I did an arrangement of that with my friend Frankie Moreno on the piano. So. So I do enjoy doing that, and I hope when I get older I'll do more composing.
Well, if the rate you're going, let's hope you get older. Because
Thank you.
It's really unbelievable. The what I do remember though, you had worked on the Red Violin, some of the cadenzas for that, and then even the West Side. Didn't you do West Side Story?
Yeah, Bill Braun did a version of the West Side Story for violin, and I worked with him in sort of putting that together. And we did. There was a lot of rearranging in that.
Yes,
which is I enjoyed, and I added my own cadenza for that. So it's fun being. Part of the birth of a new piece, and the Red Violin, of course, John Corigliano, one of our greatest living composers. He wrote this great concerto, which, he didn't need me, but it's fun to just, influence here and there,
Didn't he expand the Red Violin, the Chaconne, into the concerto? Was it because of you?
Yes, I encouraged him to do that. I don't know if he would have done that anyway, but when he wrote such great music for the film, which won the Oscar in 2000, I said, you've got to make a concerto. And he being the greatest perfectionist I know, he did not just expand anything. He took it and really made a real concerto, not just a fleshed out movie score.
Yes, and it actually is. It's very different. The movements are very different. Yeah.
But it's been taken up by dozens of soloists already, which is very unusual for a new piece to have that kind of legs and that kind of life. It's very exciting that I feel, you know, that I was part of the original performance and now many people are playing it.
Well, of course, a violinist, and you are, and you know the perils and the dangers and the good things, and then you say, well, that's what we can do here and there. Didn't Joachim, wasn't he a great violinist, and he arranged for...
Absolutely. Joachim was, I guess, the muse of Brahms and for his concerto. In fact, I think Brahms got rather annoyed because Joachim actually changed too many things, in his view. But there was no doubt, and everyone agreed that the Brahms concerto is a far better piece because of Joachim. And historically, there's always, composers have always gone to the violinists, if they're not violinists themselves, you know, gone to the violinists to help them out. That's natural.
So now, I mean, after this wonderful album you've done, and you say you're going to be doing some concertos, some solo works, or solo appearances, what are you planning to play?
Oh, well... I just got back from doing a little tour with the Cleveland Orchestra and Franz Welser-Müst, playing Beethoven Concerto. It was interesting for me to play with a conductor.
Yes.
After so directing it myself, it was actually rather fun to do it that way.
How did that feel? That must have been wearing a whole new hat.
Well, I didn't have to wear that hat. I just let him conduct. It was kind of I kept wanting to turn around and make gestures, and I had to but he's a wonderful conductor, so it's sort of it was a nice little luxury. But I basically, my schedule, I play about 140 concerts a year, so I balance that with you know, the chamber music and the I'm on my way to Europe today to go tour with to meet up with various orchestras in Europe as the soloist. But then I'll see my Academy of St. Martin's in March in Europe again, and I get to do the whole combination of concerto and directing. So that I always look forward to that.
Well, it's wonderful, Josh, just to watch you and your career blossom as it has. You're such a fine, fine musician and now a very fine conductor. And I guess you define what being a musician is. And I'm very, very, very proud of you and delighted to have the opportunity to speak to you again.
Thank you. It's always nice to speak to you, Jill.
Okay, the best. Bye-bye. We've been speaking with Joshua Bell, violinist and conductor of the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields, about his newest release on the Sony label. Joshua Bell conducts Beethoven Symphonies No. 4 and 7. The album will be released on February 12th. Until next time, I'm Jill Pasternak.
For a second listen to selected crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Patti, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group Incorporated. Thanks for listening.